The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 14, beginning with the first verse. Dear friends in Christ, growing up, my brothers and I always played the classic game of shotgun. You probably know how that game works. When you come into sight of the vehicle that you are going to be riding in, the first person who yells shotgun gets to sit in the front seat while everyone else is relegated to the seats in the back. A lot of people play. Of course, we never played that game when both of my parents were going to be riding in the car because my dad always drove and my mom always got to sit in the front seat and the rest of us had to sit in the back. We played a similar game at home. We always wanted to get the best spot in the living room right in front of the TV, the one that didn't have any glare so you can see everything the best. And if you got up out of your seat to get a drink or something to eat and you forgot to save your spot, well, by the time you got back, someone else sat in that spot and you were relegated to a worse seat. Of course, if my dad wanted to watch TV and he came in the room, well, we automatically got up without saying anything and laid on the floor because the man of the house could sit wherever he wants. Two common examples of people striving to get the best spot at the expense of other people. And to some extent, they're harmless games that we play. But they do highlight something that's ingrained in all of us, a lack of humility and a selfishness that's all too common. Jesus saw that as he was invited to a party or a meal at a Pharisee's house. Now Jesus is toward the end of his ministry, and by this time, the Pharisees did not like Jesus. They only invited him there so they can watch him and try to trap him in some sin or some false teaching. They were watching Jesus closely, but they didn't know that Jesus was also watching them. And as they sat down for the meal, he saw how they fought and how they manipulated each other to try to get the best spots at the table. Like children trying to get shotgun or the spot in front of the TV. So Jesus spoke up. He said, you know, it's better for you to take a lower seat and to be asked to be moved up than for you to take a prominent seat and ask to be moved down. It's like if you are invited to a wedding reception and you get there and you look around and you notice that there's a table up front that's a little bit fancier than the other tables. It even has champagne on that table and you think to yourself, I'm going to sit there. So you do. Until someone tells you that that table is reserved for the wedding party, and since you're not part of the wedding party, you're going to have to move, and by then the only spot that's left is the one right next to the bathroom. You're humiliated. But Jesus isn't just giving sound advice about how to live on this earth if we're invited to a party or to a meal. Now, Luke tells us that Jesus is using a parable. Now, a parable that we're used to is Jesus telling a story. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. This parable is a little bit different. Here, Jesus is using an earthly example to teach us about spiritual things, about how he expects us as his children to live. Well, verse 11 is key to understanding this portion of Scripture. There, Jesus says, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, this is true on an earthly sense in a general way, isn't it? People love to see the downfall of the rich and the powerful, especially if those rich and powerful didn't earn that money or that power on their own, what was given to them. On the other hand, everyone loves a good rags-to-riches story. The self-made man is the American dream. Now, it is true in a general sense that those who are proud and arrogant are made low at times, and those who humble themselves at times are lifted up and exalted. But once again, Jesus isn't just talking about earthly things. He is teaching us true Christian humility. And that starts with how we look at ourselves and how we look at everyone else. Now, we Americans, for the most part, are a proud people. We live in the best country in the world. We have more money, more possessions, more opportunities than any other time in history. For years, schools, coaches, parents, so on, have done nothing but praise children. They're never told you can't do this. They're never told no. But they always talk about how gifted and talented and smart and beautiful and athletic and whatever have you. And that may, if they work hard, if they put their minds to it, they can accomplish anything they want. And that may sound good at times, and that has its benefits, but as a result, we've raised over a generation of people who don't know what true humility is. And truth be told, humility isn't something that comes natural to any of us. It's ingrained inside of our sinful nature. We think that we are gifted, that we are talented, that we deserve more than other people because just how hard and how good we truly are. When we get a little jealous when we see other people succeed. We get a little jealous when we see someone get a promotion or someone get a different job or someone buy a new house or drive a nice car. And we think to ourselves, what did they do to deserve that? I'm the one who deserves those good things because I am smart or talented or a good Christian or whatever have you. It's hard for us to be truly happy when we see someone else succeed or to be glad for someone when they have something nice given to them or to take a back seat in favor of someone else. So, how do we remain humble as Christians? It really starts about looking at yourself, about how God looks at you. Now sure, God does give us all our gifts and abilities. And He gives varied gifts and abilities to each and every one of us. And He wants us to recognize those gifts and to use those gifts to His glory. But those gifts, whether we have a lot or not, don't make us any better in the eyes of God. We're all equal. When we take a look at ourselves, we realize that we're nothing but sinners, enemies of God. We ruined God's creation. We fail to live up to the perfection that God demands of us. We are those who fail in mind and body. We're sinners. Weak, feeble, helpless to save ourselves. In the eyes of God, everyone is a sinner who needs a Savior. In Philippians 2, Paul says that our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to explain how Christ humbled himself. That even though Jesus is God, he gave up the glories and riches of heaven to be born of a virgin. Humbled himself to become a man. And he made himself so low that he even went to the point of death, dying on a cross. Even though he is God, even though he is better than everyone else, he didn't put himself above anyone. Rather, he put us first so he could die in our place. And as a result, he was lifted up and exalted, and so are we. Because of Christ, our sins have been removed and a glorious life in heaven awaits. It is the Lord who lifts up the humble. those who are proud, those who are arrogant in their conceit, thinking that they can earn their way to eternal life, thinking that by their gifts and abilities they can save themselves, they'll be made low and condemned by the Lord. But those who are humble, in the sense that they see themselves as sinners and helpless to save themselves, will be lifted up and saved and exalted, brought to heaven to share in God's will. It is sin and Christ's sacrifice for us that makes us equal in God's eyes. He doesn't just see sinners, he sees his children, redeemed, justified. He may give different gifts and abilities to all of us, but we're still helpless sinners who are saved by Christ and are equal in his sight. No one here is better than anyone else, and no one is any worse. So we look at ourselves through God's eyes, and we remain humble. That affects how we deal with others. It's okay if someone gets a better spot than we do, or a higher paying job, or lives in a nicer house. In the end, we're all equal in God's eyes, and all those gifts that we have are just grace on top of grace. Gifts of God that we do not deserve. Speaking of gifts, why do you give gifts to someone else? Why do you do nice things for others? Well, many people give gifts to someone else because it's expected of them. Maybe they got a gift in the past from someone, and so they feel that they have to give a gift in return. Or someone might do something nice for someone, maybe invite them to a meal, in hopes that they might get something in return somewhere down the line. You do something nice for me, and I'll do something nice for you. You scratch my back, and then I'll scratch yours. If you fail to do something nice in return, or if you get a gift and don't give a gift back, you break all sorts of social protocol, and you may not get talked to by your friends or your family for a while. If you don't think that people give gifts or do something nice without expecting something in return, well, try not to give a gift to someone. Or say, since you gave me this gift, I'm going to donate the same amount of money to a charity and see if you get a gift again. After chiding those who are fighting for that good spot at the meal, Jesus turns to his host. And he told him, when you invite someone to a meal, you shouldn't invite your friends or family or your rich neighbors, because they're going to pay you back. Instead, invite those who can't pay you back, like the poor and the blind and so on. Now here, Jesus, once again, he's not giving advice about who we should and who we should not invite when it comes to having a meal. And he's not condemning us for inviting friends or relatives, family members over for a meal. If he was condemning us, well, then our Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners would look quite a bit different this year. So what's he saying? Jesus is condemning the practice of doing something nice for others so that you can get something in return. He's condemning the practice of giving someone something so that you can get something back. When we do those things, when we do something nice only to have something come back to us, hopefully, or to give a gift because we want to get a gift in return, when we do those things, we're not showing love. We're not being nice to others. We don't have a concern for someone else. But it's selfishness. We're looking out for what we want, not what other people want. We're looking for ourselves and not for others. So Jesus used this as an opportunity to show us how Christians ought to live. You live not only humbleness, but unselfishness. Giving something to someone without expecting anything in return. Doing something nice for someone simply for the sake of doing something nice for them, to show love to them, not expecting to get paid back in any way, shape, or form. Motivated by God's grace and His love for us, we willingly live that life of love and put it on full display for everyone. It's a love that mimics the selfless act of Christ and of God, His Father. God so loved us that He sent His Son into the world to suffer and die on the cross. To condemn His own Son for His enemies. Jesus so loved us that He gave up His life, that He willingly suffered through eternal damnation to save us from our sins. By that selfless act, we are made at one against with God. We are reconciled with Him, and so we show that same selfless love to one another. And Jesus says, when we do this, you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. It may seem as if Jesus is saying that we will be saved by our selfless acts. But we know based on the rest of Scripture that we will not be saved by what we do. Scripture is clear that we are saved by Christ's work alone, which we receive through faith. So once again, what is Jesus saying? When we show love to one another, when we do nice things for them, when we give gifts without expecting anything in return, just as Christ did, that is a fruit of faith. Those who show selfless love will be raised at the resurrection of the righteous, not because of what they do, but rather the righteous simply do acts of selfless love. We are already made righteous through the work of Christ, and we show love for Christ by showing love to one another. It's not hard to see how ingrained that selfishness and a lack of humility is in our lives. You just have to take a look at that seemingly harmless game of shotgun. On the surface, it may seem as if Jesus is simply teaching us how to live a life on this earth. But Jesus is never solely concerned about how we live on this earth. No, He is always concerned with our spiritual well-being that leads us to eternal life. Jesus is showing us how Christians act out of love and thanks to Him. And that starts how we look at ourselves. Blessed by God and yet no better or no worse than anyone else. It is by God's grace through faith in Him alone that we are saved. We're all equal in the eyes of God. As Christ humbled Himself to the point of death and selflessly gave up His life, so we humble ourselves before God and we are unselfish as well. His humbleness, His selfless act leads us to follow Him. Because it's so ingrained in us, we will fail to be humble, we will fail and we will be unselfish at times. That doesn't mean we stop trying. We know that when we fail, that's why Christ humbled Himself to the point of death, so that He can remove our sins, lift us up, and exalt us, so that we may share in His glory forever. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.